welcome to an extra edition of Quantum of Solace with me, Al Smith, of the Solace Centre for Public Christianity. If you're a Christian who's interested in evangelism, and let's be honest, that should be all of us, right? I'm sure you'll have heard of Christianity Explored, the excellent evangelism course from Christianity Explored Ministries and Rico Tice. Well, if you've been paying attention on social media, I'm sure you're also aware that they have a new course out called Life Explored. I managed to catch up with one of the writers and presenters of the series, Nate Morgan Locke, just after the Scottish launch event they had in Edinburgh. So what I'm about to play you is the interview we recorded then. Apologise in advance for the quality of the recording, but we thought we'd put it out anyway because Life Explored is something that a lot of Christians are very interested about and want to know more. So here's the interview. Nate Morgan Locke from Christianity Explored Ministries, welcome to the Quantum of Solace podcast.
It's a delight to be here.
You're up in Scotland and you're doing the Scottish launch event of your new programme, Life Explored. Tell us a bit about Life Explored. What's the point of it?
So Life Explored is a 7-session series that asks people the question, what is the best gift God could give you? And we believe that as people answer that question, they will reveal their heart's deepest desire and they will reveal their functional God, their functional Saviour. And then as we discuss that with them, we then want to present to them the God of the Bible. The God who is Father, Son and Spirit and who has revealed himself in Scripture to be good and trustworthy and generous and liberating and fulfilling and life-giving and joyful. And so over the 7 sessions of the series, we just unpick a different characteristic of who God is and ask people to explore that.
Is it very similar to Christianity Explored or is it very different? How does it differ?
That's a great question. So the way that it's similar to Christianity Explored is that it is evangelistic. So it contains good news about Jesus, first and foremost, and is designed to reach those who don't already know him. The second thing is it's expository. So we don't want to impose our ideas onto the text. We want to expose what God has revealed in his word. The third way that it's the same is that in terms of its format and its approach, it's engaging. So we use a variety of short film, Bible discussion, chat and conversation. Those are the ways that it's the same. It's evangelistic, it's expository and it's engaging. I'm slightly embarrassed they all begin with E.
My boss will love that. He loves alliteration.
The way that it's different, it really is in two ways. The way that it seeks to define or describe sin and the way that it seeks to convict of sin. So firstly, the way that we're describing sin in Life Explored is as idolatry. So in Christianity Explored, we do it as law-breaking. Life Explored, we're looking at the idols of the heart, those false gods that we worship, those misunderstandings of the true God. And that is idolatry, and that's the way that we define sin. The way that we try to convict of sin is also different. So we talk about Nathan moments. We have 2 prophets in the Bible who are both sent to kings to convict them of adultery. So Nathan is sent to David to convict him of his adultery with Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 12, and John the Baptist in Mark 6 is sent to convict King Herod of his adultery with Herodias, his brother's wife. Now, the 2 different prophets take 2 different approaches. John the Baptist just comes out with it, Mark 6:18, I think it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. That's the law, you broke it, you are a sinner, you've rebelled against God. Absolutely true and right. Raw propositional.
And he ended
truth.
Up losing his head.
Well, there we go. That's what happens. We're not saying that that is a bad approach because
that's one way of speaking truth to power.
Yeah. There we go.
Oz Guinness, in his book Fool's Talk, talks about Nathan and David and how Nathan uses the story to let David see his own sin and basically flips it and turns the table on. I was going to say, you must have read that book, but actually, no, you've been working on this for much longer than before Oz's book came out.
Well, I don't know when that book came out, to my shame, but no, we've been working on this for a very, very long time. In terms of 5 years, really.
There's 2 videos. There's the introductory video, which, by the way, I've got to congratulate you guys on it. You've done a fantastic job. It is beautiful.
It was, a, it was just just me and me and an iPhone, art. Really. Yeah. A lot of people were involved. It's about knowing talented
people. But it's art. Yeah. The quality of it is in itself is a witness. Right? But the thing that I loved about it is when we're confronting idols, people don't get fed up with their own idols and then go and look for God. People get a bigger glimpse of God and then they turn away from their idols.
True, yeah.
And
yeah.
What I found interesting in the way that you've structured this is the second video is a very proclamatory. Over this series of the videos, you're proclaiming creation, fall, redemption. You're following these things through week by week.
Yeah.
So you have the proclamation of truth that people will then catch that glimpse, that bigger glimpse of God and turn from their idols.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that whole thing, how do you get a dog off a bone? You give them a steak. We're showing that your idols, like we're showing that God is better than what you currently are living for. What you're currently trusting in is not as good as what we have for you. That's a joyful thing to do. The other thing is that once someone really grasps that if I think this thing's amazing, if this is my God, and yet here's the God who's gifted this to me, that thing, that object, whether it's a relationship, a marriage or something like that, or an experience or creation, just enjoying that, that can act as, if you like, a trampoline to praise the Lord, because it's acting as, here's an amazing thing that makes my heart want to delight in who God is because he's so wonderful. I think that's good. How much greater must the God who created that be and who allows me to enjoy that? And so to see those things not as objects in and of themselves, but as mirrors through which we look to see the glory of God.
I'm interested in the first video. You use the first video very much as a mirror, because they're almost like short silent movies that you're using biblical themes, visual metaphors for biblical passages in all of them. Christians are not going to be used to seeing this first video. This
Correct.
Is a very new approach.
Yeah.
So how do you expect people to use these videos in terms of sitting down with their friends, with their family, people they invite to it?
There's an awful lot of unlearning that we're having to do, I think, as we're taking these out, which is, as Christians, I think we can often feel like we're supposed to understand how everything works and understand better than other people how things work and function and our approach to them. And in some ways, we just need to recapture that sense of humility that just says, yeah, I mean, as a story, I like this aspect of it. I like that aspect of it. I'm annoyed by that character's reaction. I don't think that's legitimate. Or why would that happen? What a stupid person. Do you know, why would you follow through with that? So to try to just allow ourselves to sit and to watch side by side with our friends and to respond and react and get angry and have questions just the same as them. Mm-hmm. And then to be able to sort of discuss our issues around those diagnostic questions that we highlighted, such as what's the best gift God could give you? Where do you turn to in moments of difficulty or stress? What if it was taken away from you would make you feel like life wasn't worth living? Mm-hmm. And to actually see ourselves as recapturing our humanity with other people, that what we share with other people.
One of the things that I find interesting, I've not watched all, I've watched the first six, I've still got the last one to go.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah. But what I found as I was watching them, I would see my own sin patterns in these videos. I would recognise, think, oh, I do that.
Or, okay.
Oh, that's me. And then, so if I'm sharing that with my non-Christian friends that we're doing this, running this course with, then by me being open about my own sin, my own idolatry, it kind of gives them permission to see it in themselves and recognise it in themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that is so important, because the only thing that marks us out as different is that God has chosen to grant us the grace of the gospel. And that should lead us to a remarkable humility. And that great phrase there, but for the grace of God go I. Mm-hmm. Now, if we can be able to say to people, look, the differences really between you and me are that I have this person, this God that I'm hoping in and trusting in, and I enjoy him in all these other ways. But I'm struggling just like you are. I'm struggling through the day. I struggle with this and with that. The point is, as a Christian, you actually have the ability to process that mm-hmm. and to confess that and to acknowledge it to other people. It's actually the super religious, whether they're officially religious or not, who cannot show their weakness, who can't show their vulnerability, can't acknowledge their own sin because they're seeing themselves as justified by their works. Whereas we, as those who have faith in Christ, we can be open about that. We can acknowledge our weakness.
Well, talking about being open and confessing your weaknesses and your sin, and then I've got a confession for you. I will confess before you now, I had two tearful moments, right? I burst into tears on two occasions. I burst into tears when Barry Cooper gave the gospel presentation at the end of The Trustworthy God, the second one, right? I burst into tears at the end of that, right?
Brilliant.
I burst into tears at the end of Geisha, the first film.
Oh, yeah,
that just and as I was looking around the room tonight, there was a few people wiping.
Okay.
It was a very public environment,
so yeah,
people
were yeah.
But there was a few people wiping a little tear at the corner of their eye. But
which bit was it? What got you?
Right at the very end, when you realise that he loves his wife so much that he's going to go back and get her again.
Yeah,
it's God going after his adulterous wife, adulterous Israel.
He knows what it costs
to redeem it.
Yeah.
And I lost it, and I just thinking, how beautiful is it that we have a God that loves us that much that he will come after us and chase us in our sins.
Interestingly, so that bit gets me. There are other bits. Seven, you're going to be in bits.
What do I expect from seven?
The thing that gets me in Geisha each time at the end of the film is when his son...
with a bag.
...brings the bag and says, Dad, you've got to go and get it.
Yeah.
Because that is... He's, if you like, the character in the story who has the biggest kind of arc. Like, he's the one who changes the most. He's really angry when his mum comes home and all that sort of stuff. And then you get to that bit where he's sort of going, I understand this now. And so this is a son who's really following in the footsteps of his father. Like, he understands his father's heart. Then you go and do, after the talk and everything, you go and do the prodigal. And you see these sons and the father's heart, and you see all that sort of stuff.
Well, where do people go for more information about these things?
So there's a few places you can go. Life.explode.red is a site which has got all of the story films and some things to engage with.
So it's Life Explored with the dots in funny places.
With dots in funny places, yeah. There is obviously the CE Ministries site, so the ceministries.org. And there's also, if you want to be ordering the materials online, you can do that through the Good Book Company. On social media, there's Facebook, there's a Twitter account, I think there's Instagram.
Good. All right, listen, thank you very much, Nate. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it, and God
bless. It's been a pleasure.
May our Lord use this for his glory and his name. It's tremendous.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it, or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.